Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The big news, as you just heard from Eric and Ryan, is that Ed Burke has been... What's the end of that sentence, Ryan? Ed Burke has been what again?
Federally charged. Corruption.
37-page indictment. How many charges do we know? I know literally... We're printing it out in the newsroom and reading the dang thing or looking at it online, but how much do you know that you can tell us?
Well, you know, I'm rolling through this right now, and all 37 pages, they actually have transcribed out some of the conversations that were wiretapped from federal agents involving this Ward employee, Ward 1 employee, which has not been identified. The only person identified in any of this is Alderman Burke. Conversations that he had with an executive with Company A. We know Company A right now is a fast food restaurant or chain, or someone who owns a chain of fast food restaurants. It has more than 100 of them in the Illinois area, in the Chicago area. And basically what this comes down to boil these 37 pages down, is this company was doing some renovation work in 2017, got the permits they needed to do this, had to have a face-to-face meeting with the alderman to get his blessing, if you will, to get the support to make this all happen, which is something that happens in the Chicago area quite frequently.
Yeah.
But during this process, apparently Alderman Burke, according to the complaint, was soliciting business for his own private law firm, wanted this company to hire him on, or at least his law firm on, for its tax needs. Also, eventually in this conversation, soliciting political donations for another candidate. This made the individual A and Company A very uncomfortable. And at one point during this renovation project, when they thought they had everything cooking and humming and everything was going well, they say that the permits were declined, ripped out from them, and that was at Alderman Ed Burke's discretion.
So I wonder if they're the ones that then went to the FBI.
It's quite possible. Based on this, they smelled something funny, according to what I'm reading here in this complaint, pretty early into these discussions. And, you know, as we read from Burke's perspective in these discussions, he wanted to have more meetings with them. He wanted to talk with them more. He wanted to get things settled, and it did not look like they were willing to play ball.
We know what the company is. I'm trying to think of fast food restaurants that have 100. It could be any one of a number, but it's not a mom and pop shop. It's a McDonald's. It's a Taco Bell. It's a Starbucks. It's
could be
something
yeah.
like that.
It's not identified in there. We don't know if it's one specific restaurant. You know, you get some of these places like you know, Taco Bell equals Pizza Hut equal. You know, some of these companies where it's more than one brand. But this is one specific restaurant that had at least a fast food aspect to it, a drive up, because a lot of what was kind of held up, or the friction that this complaint claims was created by Alderman Burke, was regarding a driveway that led to a fast food pickup location. So
if they want to get that done, they got to get the alderman to sign off on it, because these guys are czars in their districts. And so then he says, so then evidently he wasn't hearing what he wanted to hear from them at that juncture. I'm extrapolating, aren't I? But that's what this sounds like.
Yeah.
And at that point, you'd think it would be more than just a driveway to one of the restaurants that tipped to this thing. They say that it's not just there was a conflict between his public job and his private business,
mm-hmm.
but he was also soliciting campaign donations, maybe for other candidates too, right?
That's what it sounds like. At least one other candidate who is not identified, soliciting in some way to these individuals who were involved with this corporation. You know, it's an interesting read through. I've read through it. I haven't seen any bleeping gold lines in there, you know, like the
well, you said they transcribed mm-hmm. some of the wiretapped conversations, which were golden in the Blagojevich case. And when that first happened and came to light, we didn't have the audio until I think there was a Freedom of Information request. There was some sort of request to the government to release the tapes. The Tribune did it. And then we got the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And the tapes were much better than a transcription. They were so conspiratorial. And the guest stars, including the current governor, his appearance on these tapes was really interesting. That was the Blagojevich tapes. I wonder if we'll get to hear the Burke tapes.
It's quite possible. Obviously, they exist. Obviously, they got them, and they had been tracking these phone calls dating back to middle of 2017. This kind of all went down in a span of about June to November.
Can you read from any of the transcripts?
Yeah, let me see if I can find anything. I do want to point out that we did learn that the raid on Alderman Burke's offices was a search for some emails that it were exchanged between Burke and ward employee number one, specifically regarding this kind of transaction that was going on. But once again, it was just kind of talking around building applications. And I'm not seeing anything super sexy in here as far as if you get them to do this, I'll do that.
Right.
All seem to be, you know, pretty boring speak from everything I've read in here. But let me see.
I have to tell you, though, as you look for that, that's the other thing that was in the back of my head was, I wonder if this will be another case of a Rod Blagojevich saying, you know what, that's how we do business. I didn't know that this was wrong. That is, hey, your company with 100 restaurants and some of them are in my district. I'm a politician. Sure, it's reasonable to ask for a donation. It doesn't have to be a quid pro quo, but that's how they make sausage. Lisa Madigan gets law firms to donate to her campaign, and her re-elections were never in jeopardy. Now, why were those law firms giving money to Lisa Madigan? That's just because that's what you do. They just pay a little homage to the boss there.
Well, and even if they're not asking, you want to be in someone's good graces if you're going to be asking for something.
Right. So, hey, by the way, we made a donation. I don't know how that goes. Do you mention that? Do they
ask?
You
go to the luncheon. And you make sure you hand them the check.
There were a lot of lunches in here, by the way. That's where many of these conversations were taking place.
You've got to remember, the Supreme Court did rule that horse trading was part of politics as they go now, too.
What do you mean by that?
It was the case out of Virginia, I believe. The governor there had his conviction overturned for corruption because he said it was horse trading.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. I don't throw Blagojevich's name around lightly, but I think there was and remains some general confusion about the grayness of what can I do as a politician to ask for donations from people who are in my district or want to do business in my district or state. I mean, is it all hands off? Can they make a donation? You should see the list of people that donated to Donald Trump's inaugural balls. Millions of dollars from AT&T and Boeing and companies like that. Now, why did they suddenly want to throw a dance for Donald Trump? Think about that. Why did they want to do it? Maybe because they're flag-waving Americans, and that's the right thing to do, support the new administration. But you believe there's probably more to it than that, right? That happens all the time.
And also, back to the beginning of the show, how much you can get away with without anybody noticing.
At the beginning of the show, we told the story of a basketball team that swapped out free throw shooters. They were triplets, and they put the better one at the line. If you can get away with it, you do.
It's not cheating, right?
Unless you get caught.
If the refs don't see, you do it.
What'd you find?
Well, one thing, and we'll get into this in just a second, but one thing, too, that kind of pops out of this 37 pages is the fact that this company, this fast food company, says they've done businesses, you know, all across the country. Architects have done business, and they've never had to go around the buildings department to get a permit through an alderman before. That's what made this so weird for them. They thought they had everything they needed to, and even the building department said, you've got everything you need to. It was Alderman Burke who they said was holding all of this up. So discussion here on page 19, discussion between ward employee one and Alderman Burke. You guys never transferred over, Burke said. Yep, all the other license they have. Ward Alderman One responded, yeah, now that group, did they ever get back to you? Ward One employee, Burke, never. Ward One employee continued, after your Burke replied, never. Ward One employee continued, meeting at Beverly Country Club, Burke said, never. I took them, this is the individuals, to lunch. I was playing nice with them, never got back. I believe Burke explained to Ward Employee 1 that Individual A and Individual B were never contacted never contacted Burke about providing legal work to his private firm as Burke desired. Ward employee one said, "To tell you the truth, I'm at Beverly right now." Later in the conversation, Ward employee one, "You know, there, you know, but the group never got back to you, right?" Burke responded, "Never." Ward one employee replied, "All right, I'll play as hard a ball as I can." Burke said, "Okay."
Okay. So, but that is Burke wanting this company to do business with his law firm. He wanted to represent them.
That's what it seems like, yeah.
But he never said, "I'm not going to stamp the license if they don't."
Yeah. That, like I said, too, there's a lot in here that, you know, we probably need some legal experts to unpack it. And my apologies for not getting through that. He's just trying to skim through
some of the
highlights. It's the conversations that were going on, you know, behind closed doors, according to the complaint.
Which had been caught on tape. Somebody was wearing a wire then.
It sounded like the phones were tapped.
The phones were tapped.
And as far as these conversations that happened at these luncheons, a lot of them coming, being transcribed by the individuals who are in there saying, after this meeting, this is what happened. This is, you know, saying after the meeting, this is what happened. This is what we talked about.
Your texts include these from 773. "It's about time. 40 years too late, though. Wait until they open the finance records he let no one see." 630, "Isn't Burke's wife on the Illinois Supreme Court? That's embarrassing."
She is.
She is, and just was reappointed to a 10-year term the day that they wallpapered his office.
And his brother, by the way, yesterday stepped down early from his state seat a week early.
That's his brother.
That's his brother. Yeah, we didn't know why, and to be honest with you, he was kind of a lame duck anyways because he had lost his primary back in April. It seemed weird that he was doing it a week early, but maybe he got a gig somewhere, and we didn't really read between the lines in that, and we don't know if that has anything to do with this.
And he backdated it to, like, December 30th or 31st, saying,
"Correct.
Take this letter as my resignation effective December 30th. I'm no longer it."
And that came yesterday, so...
So somebody got a heads up is what it sounds like.
Possibly.
Although, does it trickle down to the... I'm asking questions you don't know the answer
to. Yeah, exactly.
I'm asking questions you cannot know the answer to. John, what's not to get? He's a Democrat in Illinois. 847, is Madigan next? John, and you know Burke has been operating like this for decades, says 773. No, I don't. John 309, the basketball free throw situation. We'll go back to that. That's a fascinating story. John, if you excuse the business as usual attitude, how low does the horse trading go? If you need to repair your porch or replace your driveway at your house, are you expected to kick into the alderman, or is he there to serve you as a voting constituent?
Well, he can't get that much from you, so really, he'll pass that without question.
Okay, because I'm not a rich business, but
it
boy, if I had 100 restaurants in the city... Or if I had some sort of business operation and I needed maybe to get my taxes lowered on my condo.
But let's say your driveway was against the person that is donating.
Yeah, right. Then maybe I'm not in a very strong position, am I? But you forget about all of that. Just think about it this way for a second. You're an alderman or a candidate. You want to get donations for your campaign. Can you go to a business? Well, sure you can. You ask them for donations. You're going to go to businesses that are successful, that are maybe in your district. Hey, I'll represent you.
And the business says, hey, I want that tree knocked down, or I'd like a few more parking spots here, or something like that. I would be more than happy to help you out, but these are the needs that we need right now, you know,
so that's,
these discussions that
sure,
happen.
Sure, so
yeah.
And I think you're going to get that tree knocked down, or I'm going to get that street paved more quickly because you're a good leader. So that's the way it goes. But then at some point, then the politician says, boy, I'm running for re-election. I could sure use a donation. And I know that your hospital needs a new wing and you need some extra city grants. You know, I mean, it gets complicated, doesn't it?
It does.
Because maybe I was going to make the donation anyway. Maybe we were or weren't going to give you the grants for the hospital. But now it's kind of overlapped and it gets very confusing, said Rod Blagojevich from Colorado.
Right.
Hey, guys, this just in here, too. I got this from the U.S. Attorney's Office. The defendant is scheduled to make an initial court appearance today at 3 o'clock at Dirksen Federal Courthouse.
We know who that defendant is.
Ed Burt.
By the way,
I'm sorry. I thought by the context of the conversation could go without saying.
You got it. You got it.
Have they officially though identified him as that? I mean,
yeah.
We
get
Oh yeah. This is the United States
of America versus Edward M. Burke.
We reached out to the local office of the FBI and got the predictable due to the government shutdown. Oh, this is blamed on the government shutdown.
Yeah.
Holy cow! So it's not that they wouldn't be willing to talk to us, although I don't know that they would. Sometimes they can. But due to the government shutdown, the FBI Chicago is unable to grant any interviews unless it deals directly with the threat to public safety. Well, thanks a lot, Obama. The U.S. Attorney's Office of the Northern District of Illinois has issued a copy of the complaint. The initial appearance is scheduled, as you guys heard. The FBI Chicago has no further comments at this time because they don't have enough money. All right.
The U.S. Attorney's Office also saying the due to lapse of federal government appropriations, the U.S. Attorney's Office is not separately providing case information to the media or updating its website and social media accounts.
Right.
The office's essential law enforcement functions, including criminal prosecutions, will continue.
Right.
So until the federal government funds the wall, we're not going to see any movement on the former Trump attorney.
Well, you know what happens in essential jobs, they continue to work without pay, right?
The money should be there when the first payday rolls around, right? The deal gets done.
They don't have to pay them, but they almost always do. I suspect that they will, but that check's getting bigger and bigger with each missed payday. And by the way, when the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office do go back to full funding, they're still not going to talk to us, I don't think.
Yeah,
but at least they're using this right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the latest. Thank you, Eric, and thank you, Ryan, in the WGN Radio Newsroom.